It seems that the more knowledgeable people are of what actually occurs, the better it will be for everyone, although the church won't agree with me on my ideas of what is better for people. Laugh, no. But then it never has. It's a matter of power for them. Religion was corrupted into a political or power play, such that what was spiritual became a tool for the sublimation of the masses in order to control their behavior. There are in their embellishments some aspects which would perhaps be true in a very elementary sense. However, the overall picture is grossly misunderstood at this time by most on the physical plane. Different levels of existence. The church makes people afraid that if they don't do what they say, then they will go to hell. I think it sets up a whole attitude of fear. If people can get a rough idea of what it's like, they will be better prepared. It's hard to project precisely what it's like due to the limitations of the spoken language. But perhaps this will give them a clue as to how the actual concepts are. The one absolute true and loving God, who is the master of all universes, is not a vengeful and hateful God. There is no such God in any universe. He has no use for retribution. There is no need in his scheme of life for punishment. There is already enough punishment on your earth at this time without adding to it. We would say that the concept of karma is an effect, it is not a cause. The concept has been given through careful consideration as an explanation of why things happen. To us it's difficult to understand why some people seem to be more depraved than others. An easy answer is simply to accept it as karma from another life. Do you have an explanation as to why some people's lives seem to run quite smoothly their entire life, and others have so much turmoil and conflict? Perhaps it's because you're looking at one life at a time. Were you to look at that soul's progression with an extended view, that is, perhaps 100 lifetimes instead of just one, perhaps you would see that not all lifetimes are easy for everyone, nor are all lifetimes difficult for everyone. There is given in each progression the experiences which are appropriate for that particular lifetime, be they easy or difficult. The experience that is the lifetime is not the truth of the experience. It is the lesson that is learned from that lifetime. And therein lies the truth. The lesson is the fruit of the lifetime and not how easy or how difficult it is. Again, were you to see an extended view of many lifetimes, you would see that in all cases the so-called bad lives are those which are easier and those which are more difficult. By saying that one is in a very difficult lifetime for this time period would only mean that their lessons require a lifetime which is comparatively more difficult than someone else's. So what is the purpose of reincarnation? To correct what you did in the past? The purpose is to learn more. To always learn more. For never can you learn all there is to know in one simple lifetime. The purpose of living again is not to correct, but to add to. Your knowledge cannot be complete with one simple lifetime. Many lifetimes must be lived to enable you to completely understand those lessons which you yourself assign to yourself. There is no stern taskmaster with whip and shovel in hand ready to bury your body and punish you on the other side, and then return you to this land of displeasure. The experiences of life and rebirth should be viewed with a more positive outlook. That is, one of learning and loving and not of punishment and sorrow. It is all in attitude. For that which you create, you live, and that which you live, you create. Are there only good spirits where you are now? Evolving spirits. There is no good or bad. But people do have bad lives. How do you view that? People have bad lives because they're not dealing with the problems that are thrust out, problems that they themselves help to choose. They think that because they have no control over what happens to them, why should they have to work at it? Life has to be worked at, it can't be just skated through from day to day. There are people who do very bad things during their lifetime. What purpose would that serve? Sometimes that's not all the person that is doing it. Sometimes it is other forces getting in on that. And it doesn't serve a purpose except showing others that this is how low a person can fall to. In that manner it serves its purpose. But no matter how far that person, or that soul goes down, There is always room to bring themselves out of it by work and preparation and by facing the problems they'll have. This is what needs to be worked on. It says in the Bible that we must learn to be perfect. II Conversations with a Spirit S. It is not expected of humans to become perfect, although some have. This is, of course, the exception rather than the rule. To strive to be perfect is the lesson. D. I was thinking that the only way to become perfect is to learn all these lessons, which is very difficult on the earth plane. S. One learns what is perfect by experiencing that which is not. So it is as important to learn what is not perfect as it is to learn what is. There cannot be the understanding of that which is given until there is experienced that which is taken. D. Does that mean that everyone has to experience so-called bad lives in their progression so they can understand these things? S. We would not say that one has to. However, many choose this as a method of accelerating their learning process. None wish to remain any longer than they must in physical form, for that is not a true state of being. So, those lessons which most rapidly accelerate one's learning to the point where one need not incarnate further are the lessons which are most cherished or sought. D. I thought I understood you to say that we had to have the bad in order to understand the good. S. There is no rule which says that the bad must be experienced. There is, however, the reality of the insight which comes from experiencing the one in order to fully understand the other. This is not a rule, this is a fact. D. Yes, I've heard it said that you cannot appreciate happiness unless you've known sadness. You know, the opposites of everything. S. That is accurate. And so it would be appropriate to look with compassion on those who seem to be in their most negative state, as they are learning those lessons which will allow them to become most positive. D. Do you think they chose these negative experiences for their growth? S. Many do. Many find themselves in these situations, and so it could be said that they are given a gift in order to experience those lessons more fully. D. It would seem that no one would want to have negative experiences if they had a choice. S. That is accurate. One should look beyond the experience so-called bad lives II itself at the lessons gained in order to understand why one would choose such an experience. There would not be a wholesome personality involved were one to derive pleasure from this or that bad experience. The disharmony is a lesson in and of itself in order to more fully appreciate and to comprehend that which is of the harmonious nature. The lessons are learned, however, in this manner. D. I was thinking that the person who is coming into a life may decide to have some negative experiences to pay back for something he has done in the past. S. We would not say payback, for that is not an accurate concept of universal law. One might necessarily need to understand the reasoning behind the commission of an act, in order to enlighten the individual so that this act need not recur and hinder their progress. In order to establish this awareness, then it would be necessary for that entity to experience the complementary reality, or to be on the other end of the stick, so to say. D. That's what I meant, they would choose these experiences on purpose. But the warning would be given that they might overdo it once they get into the physical. S. These warnings would be more appropriately given concerning other physical energies, not necessarily about any one particular lesson involved. Many energies of a physical nature are pleasant but are harmful when indulged excessively. And one could then possibly lose sight of one's path due to an overindulgence of any particular energy. D. That's right. You can overdo the good things, too. I suppose it would be very boring if you just had a good life with nothing happening and no problems to solve. Do you think the main thing is that a person learns something from the experience? S. That would be the whole reason and justification for the experience in the beginning. D. But some people don't seem to learn anything. They just seem to go on and on making the same mistakes. S. Until they eventually learn. And then it would not be necessary to repeat these mistakes. D. I have been told there is no punishment no matter what they do. S. There most certainly is punishment. And the worst punish 114 conversations with a spirit meant of all is that punishment which we deal ourselves. We are our own judge and jury. We decide which is appropriate behavior and which is not. And so we must decide our own penance when we find we have transgressed those laws, universal or personal, which dictate what is acceptable and what is not. D. Then we do it ourselves. There is no God or higher judge that dictates the punishment to us. Is that correct? S. That would be a fairly accurate statement. However, there are situations where the entity's awareness has become so clouded from overindulgence that insight has been lost, and an awareness of the scope of the problem cannot be appreciated. Then it is necessary for a higher order to assist the individual in appropriating those experiences necessary for the clearing of the entity's awareness. D. That makes more sense. Some people say you do it all yourself. But I had one girl who had made many mistakes in past lives, and she had a guide instructing her in what to do next. It seemed like a contradiction because she had no choice in the matter. S. There always are contradictions when one sets up an absolute law. For absolutely there will be contradiction. D. Someone else said that this proved she could not manage her own affairs, so to speak. S. That would then be an accurate statement. D. Do you think sometimes the personality gets caught up in these negative experiences and situations and doesn't try to change? S. This is accurate. Many find they have lost the path of their intended goals and so seem to maintain these negative experiences. This is a true possibility when incarnating and is one of the risks involved. This awareness of the possibility of losing sight of one's path by overindulgence in the physical energies is explained prior to each incarnation. D. The masters offer them the choices by saying, you can do it this way but you might get carried away. S. This is given as a warning, and not so much as a choice. The entity themselves must choose their path with information given from Akashic records and universal truths. With this information, these entities then determine what would be so-called bad lives most appropriate for that incarnation, and the circumstances of how to manifest that reality. D. What about sin? Is there any such thing? S. Sin is basically doing what you know is wrong. Doing it knowingly. You can't sin if you don't know that it is wrong. You have to have morals to be able to sin. This is where man differs from the animal, the fact that man has conscience. When he kills someone and he knows that it is wrong, that is sin. When an animal does it unknowingly, therefore, the animal is without sin. He does it, mostly for survival or for food neither senselessly. D. Then if someone does something without meaning to or if they don't realize they are doing something wrong, is that a sin? S. It's a lesser sin. They have the sin of being unaware, which is something that has to be learned. You have to learn to be aware of your fellow beings, to the point that you don't want to hurt them, that their pain is yours. D. I always wondered if they considered anything a sin on your side. S. They consider it great injustices. D. Well, on earth we have the Bible and it says that many things are sins. S. Many of those that you have been told are sins, like you hear of the seven deadly sins that the Catholics thought up were late traditions that they added at their own wish. It was a control. D. Then the people on the other side do not consider these to be bad? S. Some of them are. But each person has to work out their own. There's no such punishment as saying this person is going to be thrown into the pit of fire for everlasting. There's no such thing as that, unless that person is punishing themselves in that manner. They don't do it. D. People say everything is black and white and goes by the Bible. S. But the Bible itself has been changed throughout the centuries to what they feel is right or what they feel the truth to be. For centuries that was the control they had over the people, the masses. By saying, if you don't do what we say is there, then you will bum in ast called it hell. I 16 conversations with a spirit D, but they say it is the word of God. S. It started out that way. And to a large extent it still is. But everyone can warp it to his or her own viewpoint, to say what they think that it should say. It is a very noble book. The intention was faultless, but the transcription was somewhat faulted. There are inaccuracies. However, the intent is as true today as it was during Christ's reign. D. Did these inaccuracies come from the translations? S. Not so much intentional, but merely mistakes which are bound to happen in a human endeavor. But there are other great books that have been written that are just as valid and also teach enlightenment. Things like the Bhagavad Gita, the Quran, different things like that. Later, when this subject awakened, I asked her to pronounce the name of the book, Bhagavad Gita, and she could not. Neither of us had ever heard of it. I found a definition of the Gita in the Dictionary of Mysticism by Frank Gehner. Bhagavad Gita, Sanskrit for Song of the Divine One. The title of a celebrated philosophic epic poem inserted in the Mahabharata, Hindu sacred scripture, containing a dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna which clearly indicates the relationship between morality and absolute ethical values in the Hindu philosophy of action, Karma Yoga. It is considered to be one of the most influential philosophical poems of Sanskrit literature. The exact date of origin is unknown. Sanskrit is one of the oldest languages on our earth and is considered the mother of the modern Indo-European languages. There are many translations of the Gita available in English. The Quran is the sacred book of the Muslims and is considered by many Muslims to be too sacred to translate into any language, although there are English translations available. All paths lead in one direction. Some have a few more sidetracks along the way, but everyone can learn from all these things and would be a more well-rounded person for doing so. By being close-minded, you lose much of the experience of life. You should never rely on one path as being the way, the ultimate. For in all paths there lies truth and in all paths there lies falsehood. You must spend your life sifting through so-called bad lives them to find what is your truth, to discover what you know to be truth for yourself. It does not have to necessarily be truth for others, and you must accept this. It is not an easy path to be different. Society usually discourages things like this. Is it wise to encourage people to question? Yes. For in that questioning they will find truth and it will sustain them. Murder is what happens to make a person become a criminal. There are many reasons why this would happen. This could be a taught function. That is, many are taught through parental neglect or abuse to become criminal. Criminal is a definition which speaks of stepping out of social boundaries, that is, overstepping those boundaries which are socially acceptable. Of course, with varying social customs, it could be seen that some activities at one point, even in one culture, could be criminal and yet in that very same culture in another time frame would not be. From a spiritual standpoint, there is no such thing as criminal, as this is a social phenomenon which speaks of overstepping social boundaries. We would ascribe to the philosophy of doing harm by retarding one's forward progress. However, from a spiritual point of view, there is not what you would call criminal activity. This could be a manifestation of a spiritual imbalance. However, it would not be spiritually criminal, it would be socially criminal. Actions manifested on a physical plane would overstep or step out of those social boundaries, which would then color or decree that the activity is, as you would call it, criminal. You said that no higher deity punishes you, that people do these things to themselves. Suppose someone had been a murderer. How would they punish themselves? They can choose to go back and, for instance, have to leave that existence at the prime of their life when they are the happiest. In that way they are punishing themselves, because they are putting themselves in the place of the person whose life they cut down. At whatever time. They have to know what it feels like. They have to see it from the other side. I had conversations with a spirit. I think we all know of cases like this. It is one of the most difficult to understand. Why seemingly good people who have never harmed anyone are cut down in the prime of their life, and why others are killed suddenly just when they are finally realizing a lifelong dream. It has always seemed so unfair, but apparently on the ever-balancing scales of karma it makes perfect sense. Then this is a punishment they have chosen for themselves? That is their own choice. No one is ever forced to go back into the body. I have always thought that a murderer would be repaid by being murdered by someone else. A sword for a sword, so to speak. There are other alternatives. Because if it were true that the only way he could work it out was to be murdered himself, then that would shift the negative karma to someone else. This would simply be shifting the load around rather than working it out and getting humanity in general past that. What if they were killed by their former victim? Then the former victim would have the murder on their karma. Although they were murdered in a former incarnation, The working out of that karma does not involve turning around and murdering somebody else. That is a rather drastic means of working it out. There are other alternatives which are the soft way, as some people would call it. And it works out better in the long run, working it out the gentle way. In my work with regressions, I have had cases of people being born into a family with the same victims they had killed in a former lifetime. In these cases, they are trying to work out their karma with each other through love. Maybe this is one of the soft or gentle ways. This would seem to be a much better way than, I will kill you because you killed me. Also, as was mentioned in an earlier chapter, it may be worked out by having to return and be a servant or a protector of the one they had killed, thus dedicating their life to that person in that manner. So-called bad lives, s. Something violent like a murder committed in the heat of passion will take several lifetimes to pay back. And those ways of repaying are as numerous as the times it has been done. It depends on the individual karmas of the people involved. Generally, what happens is that in their future lifetimes they will continually be involved in a close relationship of some sort with the person they murdered. And that is usually, in the first few lifetimes, an antagonistic type relationship. Because the person who was murdered finds that for some reason they fear or hate this person and doesn't understand why. And meanwhile, this person, the murderer, feels compelled to know them and be around them because he wants to make up for what he did in the past lifetime. It takes several lifetimes to work it out. One who does something as violent as murder has almost indefinitely lengthened the amount of time he must stay in the physical portion of the karmic cycles before he can go into the spiritual plane to remain and continue through his karmic cycles there. D. Then murder is one thing that can't be worked out as easily on the spiritual. It has to be dealt with on the physical. S. It is best to work out things that have violent karma like that on a physical level because the physical level is base enough to handle the violent vibrations involved. To work it out on the spiritual level, there's a risk of disrupting other people's karma because it's a delicate balance. D. Isn't there always the chance that the person might kill again if this is very strong in their karma? S. This is the purpose of the schools in between lives. To help them work it out, to where they would not be as apartment to kill again in future lives, we try to prevent them getting locked into a vicious cycle. D. If they continue to do these things, it would seem that apparently they weren't over there long enough to get rid of these feelings. S. They'd go to the resting place. How can I explain this? If the spirit is in the resting place not because it's been damaged but simply because it's not advanced, and if they decide that they want to re-enter the physical plane, there's really nothing UI20 conversations with a spirit D, S, D, S, D, S, D, S, can do. You allow them to enter the physical plane because they're a healthy spirit, they're just not advanced. But the spirit that has been damaged by something that they have done in their past incarnations, even though they may want to enter the physical plane, they would not be able to because the damage they have sustained prevents them from doing so without help from someone who is higher up. Sometimes the damaged spirit will be assisted to reincarnate for a specific purpose in working out a specific part of their karma. But at other times, even if a spirit wants to go and it's not time yet, then they say, no, you have some more healing to do first. I was wondering if there was any way you could stop them if they wanted to come back. If they're a healthy spirit, no, they can go ahead and reincarnate. And the forces that govern the universe keep everything in order and make sure that they don't try to reincarnate in a body that already has a spirit. I run into cases where someone dies and they want to come back immediately. They don't have any time over there at all. Yes, that often happens when they're in the period of transition. As I mentioned, after they have completed the period of transition, if they decide to come back immediately, if they are healthy, they are able to do so. They just work on more karma. But most spirits choose to stay on this plane for a while to learn more and to advance more. Because the learning and preparation you do here carries over in your subconscious and in your attitudes about whatever wisdom you are able to gain. In this way, you're more successful in your karma. Then it's not really good for a spirit to turn right around and come back immediately. Not really. It could be counterproductive. But some spirits are impatient. I think some of them are so wrapped up in the physical they think that is all there is. In those cases where they come back immediately, they wouldn't have had any chance to work on karmic relations or see their patterns, would they? No, that's true. They are usually the people who think their lives seem all messed up and confused and complain, why so-called bad lives D.S. doesn't anything ever go right? It is because they came back disorganized. They didn't have any plan of action, so to speak. Right. So everything falls apart at the seams, so to say. They came back too soon and were ill prepared. If they could have waited just a little bit and organized themselves, then things would have gone much better. Now sometimes if a spirit just doesn't seem to want to change, they are kept in a special place between lifetimes to help them grow and develop for the next incarnation. But it's kept on a very delicate balance and it is done very carefully. What kind of a place would that be? It's hard to describe. There's a different plane for working out special problems like that. It's not used for a long-term working out like the higher spiritual planes are. It's mainly used in between lifetimes to help somebody work out a specific problem, so they'll be better prepared for the next lifetime and can make progress on their karma. If this were not so, some would get locked into a vicious cycle and would never progress, and that is not good. So they are helped to progress in between lifetimes because everything in the universe must continue to progress. Would this special place be like a school? Or what kind of an atmosphere would it be? It's like a retreat, keeping them in isolation away from the others? No, it's like going to a monastery to meditate and contemplate. There they meet with others that have similar problems and with a spiritual guide. They must work out these problems and figure out why they did what they did and where they need to develop to overcome these things. I was thinking of the version people have of hell. It wouldn't be like that? No, that is a notion developed by the Christians. It really doesn't apply. It was mainly developed as a political device to help build the power of the Orthodox Church and to help overcome the influence of the Gnostics. This is a plane where you go to learn on to contemplate your mistakes and what you have done. There are always advanced souls who are there voluntarily to help you develop and to help you prepare I-22 conversations with a spirit for the next life. Because it's a growing process. It's like bringing up a child. When a child does something wrong, you wouldn't throw him into the oven. Which would be figuratively similar to our belief of hell. Throwing the sinner into the fire. You set the child down and talk with them about what they did wrong, and help them to realize why it was wrong and try to find a better action to use in a similar situation in the future. But what if the person refuses to listen and wants to go back into the physical anyway? If they're not ready to go back into the physical, they cannot, because everything must be balanced just right for them to be able to go. If they have not learned anything from seeing a major mistake, then things are not in balance yet and they are given some more time. Sometimes if someone still hasn't learned anything from a particular mistake and refuses to listen, they are sent back into a similar situation and they'll have a further chance to realize alternative actions. The masters try to do this in a way that will not have a serious consequence on the spirit's karma, so it will not be as difficult for them to progress. But you hear about people that don't seem to have any morals at all. That is true. It doesn't work all the time. There are a few who are incorrigible. But most souls want to grow and want to become better and more advanced. It's just a matter of telling them and getting them to open up to the knowledge that is there for them. What happens to someone who just seems to be animalistic? They seem to have no morals or conscience and keep repeating the same mistakes? Sometimes these are spirits who are not very highly developed. They have much karma but they really don't care. They just want to enjoy the physical sensation of being on the physical plane. They really don't care about the karma that they rack up, so to speak. There is another special place on the planes. Your physical equivalent would be like hospital. It is for these souls that are very damaged, and we try so-called bad lives I-23 to help them become better. It's much like psychotherapy and sometimes it takes a long time. What gains you make are so minuscule that it's hard to keep track of them, and it's a very slow process. Mostly advanced spirits work with ease because it takes an inordinate amount of patience and knowledge. D. To me that seems like the humane way to do it. But I keep thinking of our concept of places like hell. There is never a time when a soul is so damaged, as you said, that they would just wash their hands of them and throw them out? S. No.